It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Amber May Show. I have an exciting guest with me today. There's not a lot of ministries out there that I've seen that focuses on men, and specifically men of inner city or men that are involved in gang activity. And today we have a unique ministry among us, and it's called First Step Men's Movement with the founder, Stuart Smith, and he brought along a companion today to share about his ministry. But before I get started, I want to just make a couple announcements. There's this film that I was invited to go see. It's called Babies. It's really a documentary of four infants from the time they're born till 1 year old. It's a great movie, family friendly, but there's a couple of scenes where some of the mothers aren't dressed, so just be careful. Not sexual in nature, just being in their homes and stuff like that. So watch your kids around that. But other than that, it's a clean movie. It's kind of interesting how kids from all over the world are brought up and raised by their parents. Another announcement is I really am in need of financial support by the end of the month, or else my time gets cut in half. So if you've been blessed by any of the programs that you've heard, please contact me. You can do that by donating on my website, AmberMayShow.com. You can write me P.O. Box 86474, Phoenix, Arizona, 85080. That's P.O. Box 86474, Phoenix, Arizona, 85080. Okay, now my announcements are done. Let's get started to the real thing that we have going on here. I'm very excited to welcome Stuart Smith to the program and Marlon to the program. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much. We enjoyed being here today, Amber.
So give us an idea. What's First Step Men's Movement all about?
Well, the name First Step Men's Movement, the reason we call it a movement is because we're trying to move men from death to eternal life. Our basis scripture or foundation scripture is James 4:8, where James says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. So in other words, it's men taking that first step toward God. You know, God's not going to come across the line and grab us. We have to make that first step toward him.
That's correct. Otherwise, what good was it to God to get enjoyment if we're being forced into a relationship with him? I think it's more satisfactory for him if we willingly want to have a relationship with him.
That's very true.
So your ministry is unique. It really focuses, and correct me if I'm wrong, it focuses on inner city, reaching the people that most would throw aside or maybe afraid to minister to.
Right.
You reach out to a lot of gang members, is that correct?
That is true. That is true.
So tell us, how do you do that? And do they listen? I mean, how do you get their attention?
Well, if I can just back up a little bit.
Sure.
I attend Phoenix First Assembly of God. Pastor Tommy Barnett, great man of God, humble man of God, who, leadership there comes from the top down. And he has such a heart for the inner city. He's been that way for a number of years. He started the Dream Center in Los Angeles, California. And a lot of people may not know it, but in order to raise money, he had people pledge for every mile that he ran. He had people pledge money, whatever they wanted to pledge. And he ran from here to Los Angeles.
He ran by foot?
By foot. He ran.
Are you kidding me?
They wouldn't allow him to run on I-10, so he had to run through
Whoa.
The desert.
This is Pastor Tommy.
Pastor Tommy. He did it
Wow.
at age 60. And I'm not looking to run from my front door to the mailbox, and I'm a lot younger
Me
than
too.
He was when he did it, especially in the heat. But being at Phoenix First, I had the awesome, awesome opportunity to go through a one-year curriculum entitled Real Man, which is based on a series of books written by Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, who is considered the godfather of men's ministry. A lot of the large churches across the country that have strong men's ministry subscribe to a lot of the writings by Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole. So after I had gone through the curriculum, I was commissioned as a minister to men. And at that point in time, I wanted to go take the curriculum to the African-American church. And after the doors were slammed in my face, I ended up teaching the curriculum at Phoenix First. And after a year, the Lord said, okay, that's enough practice. It's now time for you to get outside the four walls of the church. And you're going to go to the drug addict, the drug dealer, the pimp, the gang member, guys in prison, guys out of prison. And that's really how the assignment started. And I opened up my home with permission from my wife, of course. And that's who God began to draw. He began to draw guys out of prison. He began to draw former gang members. And with those type of men, we began to go into the inner city. And with a boldness, the Bible talks about the righteous are as bold as a lion. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, loins girded about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are all, there's nothing for your back, in other words.
Right.
That's because men are supposed to run to the battle and not from the battle.
Good
so
point.
So each and every Saturday, we're out running to the battle.
Oh, man, that's amazing. So what kind of literature are you teaching? What's in this study that you're giving these men?
Well, First Step Men's Movement is a three-phase program. We have a Tuesday night Bible study where we'll do a topical Bible study. The latest one is entitled, What Kind of Man Are You? And we look at different men of courage in the Bible. Then on Thursday night, we do phase two, which is the next step, and that's the discipline program where we use the real man curriculum and teach guys, how to be better husbands, better men of God, and better fathers. And then the third step is called the step of a lifetime, which with that, we teach men a discipleship program where they can go and now disciple other men. And then we also utilize the way of the master teachings by Kirk Cameron to get men a boldness to share their faith in any environment, whether it's the inner city, whether it's corporate America, whether it's the hospital, the prison. We just want to equip men for this day and time that we live in, because time is short right now.
Amen to that. How dangerous is it to go and start witnessing to the gangbangers? To me, I'd be very intimidated if I went up there. And, again, I am a female, so it's a different perspective for me. And I don't know how serious they would take me, number one. So I'd like some insight on that. And number two, just the safety really means a lot to me. So are you guys going into harm's way? Are they... Walk us through that whole thing, because I'm trying to wrap my brain around witnessing to a gangbanger, and I think they need it, don't get me wrong. But I guess the whole preconceived ideas I have, and their tough exterior, and their scary people, it's kind of going through my mind right now.
Well, one of the things Jesus did, Jesus was always out amongst the people. And one of the things I admire about Pastor Tommy Barnett, I've been to other churches where the pastor has an entourage of security around him. You can't even get close to him. And Jesus wasn't like that. As a matter of fact, the lady who touched the hem of his garment was able to get that close. There wasn't security trying to back her away from Jesus. So Jesus was always out amongst the people. So what we try to do is just go where people are hurting, where people need to hear the gospel. We knock on doors, and over time, we develop a relationship to where people know us now. They know us by name. They invite us in their homes, ask us to pray for family members that may be in prison. We just expect the power of God to move whenever we go out. So the fear factor, don't get me wrong. We don't go out without being prepared. We don't go out, without being prayed up.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding what God is trying to do. So anytime that we go out, we know that we're on assignment. We know that harm can come, but we don't dwell on that. We don't focus on that. We just look at the souls, and we look to see men of God, women of God, come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. So each weekend that we're out, we want to do some damage to Satan's kingdom.
Yay.
That's what it's all about. We want to do damage. And Marlon can attest to that as well.
I definitely want Marlon to get involved on this, but because I'm female, I just kind of want to know, do females get to go out with you guys, or is it kind of not in the ministry at this point because maybe safety reasons, or maybe they're not going to be open? For instance, like my dad is Arabic, and he has told me several times, when you want to reach out to the Muslims, if I wanted to do so, I'd have to talk to the female because the male's not going to listen to me. Whereas, so it's the male talks to the males and the females to the females. So is it like that in your ministry, or is it, it doesn't really matter?
Well, so far we have not had any women go with us. But when we're out ministering, I mean, there's men and women there.
Mm-hmm.
So with it just being the guys going out right now, we minister to both men and women.
Okay.
If we did have women with us, we might be a little bit more successful in terms of women developing relationships with women. Because what we're looking at doing right now is not just going out on the weekend, but establishing a presence during the week. We're looking at doing after school programs. We have engineers that are now part of the group. We have some teachers. So we're looking at helping kids with reading, with math, with science. We're looking at getting involved in sports programs to mentor kids.
That's
and
great.
Coach. So the vision is large. And if there's any men listening today that want to step outside the four walls and get outside the box, you know, living for Christ should be an adventure.
It should be
an adventure. And if you just get into a rut of going to church every Sunday and that's all you do, your spirit man is being fed and getting more obese each time you hear the word, but you got to let that out. So the purpose of church is for us to come and encourage one another, love on one another, hear the word, but then go back out into the marketplace and share the gospel.
Do you guys use like basketball or something as a way to introduce yourself to these gentlemen?
Well, that's coming. Right now, we just go and just talk to them. We hit up different gangs. I mean, Hispanic gangs, African-American gangs.
Okay. Now, I know that there's a rival between Hispanic gangs and African-American gangs. So what is it like for an African-American man to go to a Hispanic gang and talk to them about Jesus?
You know, let me answer that this way. I was just on the phone. I had a gentleman called me from Los Angeles, and he does something called LA Gang Tours.
Mm-hmm.
You could check it out on the web, LAGangTours.com. Beautiful brother. And right now he's working in South Central Los Angeles to get, they're not really calling it a truce, but a peace between African-American gangs in South Central and Hispanic gangs. He himself is a former gang member, now saved and on fire for God.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I was talking to him about going over to South Central and spending some time with him and learning from him and seeing if we could bring some of those ideals back here to the Valley. But the times that we've spoken with Hispanic gang members, it's been no problem.
Wonderful. That's great.
No problem.
No further ado, I'm anticipating your friend that you brought with us. Introduce him and share. Let's see what he has to say in his story. I'm dying to hear what he has to say.
Well, this is my brother in Christ, Marlon Smith, and he's been right out there. He has a heart for the vision. And I'm sure being a part of this ministry has caused him to step up his walk, his prayer life, because that's another thing. We tell men, especially married men, that they need to spend time in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have consecrated, dedicated prayer life, because that's prayer produces intimacy. And that's how you get to know God, is through his word and spending time in prayer. So.
And what were you telling me earlier today? Men are what in the family?
Men in your home, men are the priest,
uh-huh.
They're the prophet, and they're the king. Men are the priests in that they go to God on behalf of their family, on behalf of their wife, and speak to God about their family, whatever struggles or whatever crisis may be going on. And then after they hear from God, they come back to the family then as prophet. So, and a lot of times when we were learning in our Bible study last night that crises are common to life. And a lot of times men in crisis will turn and cower. But actually, men should get to the point where they thank God for the crisis, because after they come through the crisis, they'll come through as pure gold. So here's Marlon.
Marlon, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on.
How you doing?
Great.
I guess I would say I'm a part of every first step, because I met Stuart about a year ago through God introduced us through a friend of mine. And the more I got to know Stuart, and I admired him, because he genuinely preached the truth of the gospel. You know, I see a lot of people out there, they're taking the Bible, they're taking the word and just twisting it however they want. And I don't agree with it. And then when I met Stuart, and we really came on the same page with what God's word is. You know, it's not our word, it's God's word. And it wasn't meant to be twisted.
Right.
And God follow us. We're supposed to follow him. So I met Stuart. We began to get close and talk to each other about things that we wanted to see, a vision that we had for God's work to be done. And I'm not really, I didn't grow up a church person. I grew up in the streets pretty much. I was raised by my mother. I didn't know my father. Met him a couple of times. With that being said, eventually, you know, it got to the point where my mother was a good nurturer, but it stopped at a certain age. I didn't have a good man in my life. So the streets led me to live a lifestyle in that route, and I made a lot of friends who were gang members, gang bangers, drug addicts, drug dealers. And so being on the streets, you really feel like maybe you don't belong in God's kingdom because the church is not coming and, you know, actually making you feel accepted. They're not trying to teach. If you're not already in the church, then you should be in the church, or either you're condemned already. So when I met Stuart and we started talking about wanting to get out of the four walls and really start ministering to those people in need, and then I really just came on board with him, and I said, okay, let's do this. I dropped out of high school when I was in 11th grade, and I had, instead of people encouraging me to go further, they were condemning me because, you know, I was in a place where I had nobody to help me. And for the longest time, and this dream will happen one day, I am going to open an alternative school for juvenile delinquents.
Amen.
I love that.
Also, amen. Dropouts who were in the same predicament that I'm in. I mean, and it's not just going to be a school. It's going to be something to help fill the spot where other people aren't doing. I'm going to help them find jobs. I'm going to help them learn how to write resumes, parenting classes, whatever they need to actually get that home raising or training that they didn't get at home. So when I met Stuart, we came together. We talked about things we wanted. I enjoy going out and talking to those people who I used to be and showing them that you don't have to live this impoverished mindset that Satan has put in you. You know, we're going to break that curse of you know, poverty and the slavery and, you know, feeling like there is no tomorrow and all you have right now is all you're ever going to be.
And all you can trust is yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and they're going to the head gang members. They're going to the pimps and admiring them and all the people who are preaching false doctrine because they don't have people like us out there helping them understand that there's a better life. So we're going to go out there and we're going to do what a lot of people in church aren't doing right now. We're going to reach the people that Jesus used to reach.
I love that. And something's coming to mind. The harvest is plenty and the workers are few. Is that the case in your ministry?
Sure, right. It sure is. And one of the things, if I can just piggyback on what Marlon was saying, is that, you know, he felt like the church wasn't a place for him.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do, is reach those that don't feel worthy to be in church, don't want to go to church. Those are the people we're reaching out to. And, you know, so often the church member in the body of Christ will pass by the church on their way to church. What I mean by that.
Okay, I got you. I got what you're saying. Okay.
You got me? Okay.
Yeah,
they'll pass by the gang member.
Right.
They'll pass by the pimp. They'll pass by the drug dealer. They'll pass by. Those people should be a part of the body of Christ, but because they don't look like us, because they don't wear a suit, because they're not cleaned up, you know, they pass by the church on their way to church.
Now, this is reminding me of the parable that Jesus was preaching about when the king was going to have a wedding party or a feast.
Sure, right.
And he invited all kinds of people and no one showed up. And
right.
So he told his servants to go to the highways and the byways and
Amen.
Bring those people. And how grateful were they to be entering into the king's court, you know, to dine with the king. I mean,
Amen.
They were so thrilled at that. And it meant probably more to them than it would to maybe somebody else who didn't have that hard life upbringing. And to feel like there's no hope tomorrow makes me sad, because I never woke up with that in my mind. I had great parents who raised me well.
Right.
I didn't have to want for anything.
Amen.
We had the basics done. So I can't wrap my mind around living a life where I don't know if tomorrow's going to come.
Wow,
and
right.
That's really sad to think that there's people out there that are hurting just like that. But praise God, we have gentlemen just like yourself to go out there and make a difference. Because to me, it frightens me. But then I get that courage that from talking to you guys, that it's not as scary as what I think it might be, because these guys are hardcore and have records and stuff like that. You guys are not approaching, and they're not approaching you with anger, and they're not trying to put a gun in your head or anything. They're coming, you're opening a channel of hope and love, and they're jumping on it is what it sounds like.
Amen.
And I know that you have something special coming up next month for fathers. Want to talk about that?
Yeah, next month on Saturday, June 19th, we have a Father's Day brunch. It's going to be at the Hilton Hotel at Central and Indian School, more like Clarendon and First Avenue. And what we're doing that day is reaching out. We're going to be bringing in gang members. Now, just because I say gang members, that doesn't mean you get to stay at home. Don't stay at home. Come out. And we're bringing in homeless men from homeless shelters. We're going to be bringing in men from the Dream Center. We're going to do something special to honor grandfathers that day, as well as fathers. Be gift giveaways. There'll be a human video. I'll be bringing a word a little bit. And with every outreach that we do, there'll be an opportunity for people to accept Christ. That day is going to be awesome. It's going to be something very special. You know, we look to minister in our everyday life. And I tell the guys that are a part of the ministry every day, look for God connections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone that will cross your path, that will help you to help further you in the gospel, help further you in your ministry. And also look for God appointments, you know, people that cross your path that need to hear the gospel, that need to be saved. And I had something crazy happened to me today. I saw a gentleman on the side of the road and he had a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
And he was changing it. He had his jack and everything. So I'm thinking he's okay. So I just kept on going. And had I been thinking, I would have stopped and at least offered some help and had a chance to maybe share the gospel with him or tell him about the Father's Day brunch.
Mm-hmm.
About 30 minutes later, I get a call from a brother who's a part of the First Step Men's Movement. Stuart, guess what just happened to me? I said, what? He said, I was driving down the street, and there was a guy on the side of the road that had a flat tire. He saw the same guy I saw,
wow.
Except he stopped and helped the guy. I said, I was so convicted. I said, wow.
That's pretty cool, though, that,
yeah,
that God made a point to reach out to him. And God's making a point to reach out to any of us, whether you're a believer in Christ or not. But right now, you listening to the program is God telling you he wants to have a relationship with you. I mean, look at the guests that came on the program today. They're reaching out to people that most would throw aside, that want nothing to do with, but God wants something to do with them, and he wants something to do with you today. And I just wanted to ask real quick, I don't know, Marlon, if this is something you know how to answer, but how do you think your life would have been different had you have a father in the picture? Is that something you know how to answer?
A lot of those bad decisions that I made, thinking that they were the right decisions, if I would have had a father, I would have had someone to guide me into making the right decisions. It's always better to do it right the first time than having to try to make up for the mistakes that you made. And God just kept me and gave me peace of mind to know and see my mistakes and try to get it right the next time. But if I would have had a father, and he could have showed me the first time. And, you know, even as a younger child, he could have helped me, you know, when I messed up, to show me when I was younger until I got on my own to have to just suffer, mm-hmm. you know. And the suffering was the worst part for me, is because, you know, when you just talked about how do you reach, or you can't understand how they would feel. You know, it's just, think about being depressed every day and seeing no tomorrow and living for today, knowing that God is there, but you don't know how to get through to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he's always trying to get through to us, but then we have that wall because our father is supposed to be the model of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're trying to break through that wall to get to your real father because you never had one. And it took some men who were strangers to actually sit me down, teach the Bible to me, show me stuff like how to handle my money and you know, how to handle relationships and go the right way about them. But I was 19, 20 years old and has made so many mistakes in my past, just constantly trying to make up for. And there's some things now that I'm still trying to get together. So it is hard not having a father. And the thing we want to do is get to these men before they hit 30, 40 years old, and their lives are just, they feel like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
Even if they do get it right, they got so much to clean up from
right.
their past. So, yeah, it's a form of depression that is, if you've ever been there, you'll always have a heart for somebody in depression.
Right.
It's just something you don't want anybody else to ever experience.
And I hope that if there was any gentleman listening who maybe didn't step up in his role of fatherhood, that today is your chance as a wake-up call that your kids want to have a relationship with you. Wouldn't you, if your dad would have came home at any time, wouldn't you have loved to put your arms around him or to have a relationship with him?
When I was younger, mm-hmm. yes. I finally met my father, spoke to him when I was 16 years old. And one thing my mother did, she used to tell me, never have a relationship with him. And I kind of put it in my mind to not have a relationship with him. But regardless, I still wanted to know more about him. Mm-hmm. And now I'm 30 years old trying to find out things about my father's side of the family. Because, you know, you inherit from him.
Right.
So there's a part of me that I'm still trying to figure out. But it's hard because I'm trying to gain all my past mm-hmm. from my father. He's gone now. He's passed away when I was 18. Which is kind of hard for me because I could have just went to him and asked him if he's still alive. But I think, too, with that being said, it's funny because at that point when I had no mother and no father, God showed me a verse in the Bible, scripture, that says, when your mother and father forsake you, I will take you up. And I have completely lived by that to this point.
And it's true, isn't it?
It is absolutely 100% true.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for coming on the program. Stuart, if anyone wants to contact you to get involved in the ministry or go to the Father's Day brunch,
yes.
how can they do that?
You can contact me. It's area code 602-614-3465, and that's going to be Saturday, June 19th. We're going to do something special for fathers and their children, something called the Father's Blessing, where the fathers there will actually get a chance to speak into their children's life, just like Jacob spoke into his 12 sons' lives. A lot of times we had fathers speak into our lives or mothers speak into our lives to say, you're going to be just like your father.
Yeah.
You're going to be a drunk. But no one ever spoke to project
life.
Us into our destiny, into our future.
Absolutely. So what was that number again?
The area code is area code 602-614-3465.
You guys have been such a blessing to me. Thank you for coming on the program. I've been so excited. As you guys know, when you first got here, I was like spaz. I'm so excited that you guys came here. Thank you for doing what you do to further the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.